Today, Gloria Copeland shares interesting stories about people who have lived past 100 years old. Learn their secrets to a long life and the things they all had in common. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We've been talking about living long and living strong, and we've decided that that's what we're going to do. We're going to live long and live strong. I'm talking about you and me. We're going to live long and live strong, and we're going to fulfill the number of our days. That's what we want to do, is fulfill our lifespan, get our job done, whatever God wants us to do. Now, in my book, I've shared with some people that live long and live strong. I mean, these are actual people that have lived long. Now, before we get into them, I personally know of two centenarians who are in the church who are precious people. One is Mama Jenkins. She's 100. I believe she's over 100 now. And she lives in the New York area, somewhere up in there. And she just gets in her car. I don't know if she's done it in the last year, but up until then, she'd get in her car and drive from the East Coast to the West Coast. I mean, she travels, she goes, she's in the meetings. You'll see her in a lot of Billy's meetings. She always comes to the meeting in Branson. And what a thrill it is to see somebody that is as old as she is and still moving around and doing good. Hallelujah. Still preaching, as a matter of fact. And then Dad Clark, he lives in the Seattle area, and he is celebrating his 107th birthday this year. Now, I think in just the last few weeks, I think they've had a big birthday party for him out in Seattle. 107. Now, you've seen Dad on the broadcast probably, or seen him in the meetings. He was in the meeting in Fort Worth last year, and we had him come up tall, straight, handsome man, always dresses sharp, full of the Word. It's great to see somebody, 107, in our own midst. Hallelujah. So now, these are people from the past, and some of them are characters, and not all of them are holy livers, but they still lived a long time. So these statistics, I'm going to read the statistics, and then I'm going to go give you some examples of people that you can go to the internet in different places and read up on. But this is from the New England Centenarian Study conducted by Boston University School of Medicine. And this was, I don't know how many years ago, but this is some years ago. It said currently there are estimated 40,000 centenarians in the United States. That's pretty good. 40,000 people over 100. This study was conducted by the Boston University School of Medicine. That number represents a little more than one centenarian per 10,000 in the population. Now, I think we can do better than that. I think if we'll get our eyes on the Word of God and what it says, we can live as long as we want to. You know, there'll come a time where you just want to get out of here, I'm sure, but I think we can do better on the Word of God. These are mostly, a lot of these are natural people not even thinking about the promises of God. The Word of God is life to us. Centenarians, now this is interesting, centenarians are the fastest growing segment in our population. Isn't that something? Wait till this Long Life book comes out and then they'll take another jump. Of the 70 million strong baby boomer generation, approximately 3 million can expect to become centenarians. So if you're in the baby boomers, well, you ought to be one of those 3 million expect to become a centenarian. If you're not sure you can be one of 10,000, surely you can be one of 3 million. Glory to God. Amen. Today's centenarians disprove the perception that the older you get, the sicker you get. They prove instead that the older you get, the healthier you've been. That's right. It is possible to markedly delay or even escape age-associated diseases. 88%, now this is not written by this New England Centenarian Study. This is not Bible-based anything. This is just natural facts. 88% of centenarians are functionally independent the vast majority of their lives until the age of 92. Now, you've got the Word of God. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit. When you get to be 92, you can continue to be functionally independent. Glory to God. 75% are the same at the average age of 95. So, you can go on, because you got, not these are just natural people, most of them. Many centenarians stay mentally alert and active. 30% have experienced no significant changes in their thinking abilities. Well, we can be one in 30%. We don't have to expect to get dense just because we're getting older. Now, I'm going to skip over and I'm going to read you some, and then I might come back to this list. Well, I'm almost through with it. Not all centenarians are alike. They vary in years of education, economic status, religion, ethnicity, and patterns of diets. The characteristics centenarians do have in common include a low rate of obesity. Substantial smoking history is rare, but it didn't say it was never there. It just says it was rare. They handle stress better than the majority of people. Now, that might be a clue right there. They handle stress better than the majority of people. I think stress and worry and being upset, this is just my personal opinion, but I think that's a major reason that people die young. They, instead of getting in faith, they get in stress and unbelief and fear and all the bad places. You and I can live in faith, and we can have a good day every day. Hallelujah. No stress. If we have problems, we've got the answer to it. So we release our faith, and we go right on. Many, characteristics of centenarians do have in common include low rate of obesity, substantial smoking history is rare, they have handle stress better than the majority of people, and many have first-degree relatives who also achieve very old age. The oldest individual officially on record at this time, whose longevity established the current standard for a human lifespan, is Madame Jean Calment, who died at the age of 122. She was very well known. And I remember seeing something about her where the reporters went to her house. And the only thing about her, I think she smoked, but I don't see, hey, I don't recommend that. So anyway, let's read about her. Let's read about some of these people. Jean Calment was a French woman. To get a sense of how long she lived, consider this. In 1875, the year she was born, the telephone had not been invented. Now, I mean, she just died in the last few years. The telephone had not been invented, and the outlaw Jesse James was still running wild in the American West. In 1954, when she was 79 years old, Stalin had just passed from the world scene. Eisenhower was in the White House, and the Third Republic had just come into power in her native country of France. Now, I'm telling you, that's going a long way, isn't it? Through all of that, through before the telephone, or just when the telephone had been invented, Jesse James, and she remembers him still going up until not too long ago. And the Third Republic had just come into power in her native country of France. In 1995, when she gave her last television interview, 2 years before she died, Bill Clinton was president. So Jesse James to Bill Clinton, that is pretty good, don't you think? And the U.S. space shuttle was connecting with the Russian space station. Talk about witnessing changes in the world. She wins the prize. She was healthy and active well into her hundreds. So she went past 100 being healthy and active. It is said that she was still riding her bicycle around town at 100 years old. Think about it. Having outlived her husband, her only child, and her grandchild. By the time reporters and photographers arrived in droves to join the celebration of her 120th birthday in 1995, she had slowed down a little bit. She had slowed down some. She could no longer hear very well. After breaking her hip at 115, she was unable to walk. Cataracts had robbed her of her vision, and she refused surgery because she thought it was normal not to see at 120. Well, who's to argue with her? She didn't know how to believe for the kind of sharp eyesight that Moses had. But even with those difficulties, her good humor was intact. When reporters asked her what kind of future she expected, she didn't miss a beat. "A very short one," she answered. What wisdom did Madame Calmet have to share that might give us insight into her longevity? Here's what she said. You can tell her attitude here. And she apparently didn't even know the Lord, but she had a good attitude. "I've had a beautiful life. I've had good health. I took pleasure where I could. I acted clearly and morally without regret." That was her answer. As far as I can tell, Madame Calmet didn't know the Lord, but even so, she tried to do what was right and avoided the stress of guilt and shame that comes from doing wrong. The Bible leaves no question about it. That's a good way to lengthen your days. She could have known the Lord also, you know, but there's just no record of that. Now here's Granny Cooper. She was 112 when I read about her. She had good advice for those who desire to live long and happy lives. Here's what she said: be lively. I agree with that. You know, if you're going to just sit down in a corner and not move around, you're not going to live out the full number of your days, or you may not live out the full number of your days. She said, be lively. Don't just drag around. It's just as easy to be lively as it is to sit there and bite other people's heads off and be sour all the time. That amounts to walking in love. Walk in love. Be lively. Be sweet. Don't be harsh and argumentative. Bite other people's heads off. And don't be sour. Unlike other centenarians, I found Granny Cooper pointed her relationship with the Lord as a part of her life and longevity to her relationship with the Lord. Here's what Granny said. "I've read through the Bible and I've read a lot of Billy Graham's books and articles." She said, "I don't really care much for TV. That might be why she lived so long. I used to watch the soap opera, the daytime soap opera, As the World Turns, but I stopped that." Smart woman. "I think that wasn't helping her, so she cut that off. I think that was a very smart choice." Hallelujah. And surely helped her live longer. Granny Cooper also declared that the church had been her guidance and main interest in life. So she was a believer. She was a church-going woman. She said, "Ever since I can remember, church has been important to me." In addition to living many years, she also remained in near-perfect health. That's amazing, isn't it? She had only one hospital stay, and it was due to a hip injury and not an illness. Even at 112, she never complained of so much as a headache. Glory to God. Go, Granny, go. And here's the not-so-grumpy old man. Although a great percentage of centenarians are women, plenty of men cruise past 100 and full of life and energy as well. Reverend Lawrence Scott is one of them. Reverend Scott hails from Clinton, Oklahoma. One of those was a French lady, and this man's from Oklahoma. According to an article written about him in a magazine in 1995, Reverend Scott's first wife died after they had raised 8 children. At the age 88, he fell in love with and married a member of his congregation. So he was a lively fella. At the time of the article, they had celebrated their 18th anniversary, and he had been in ministry 78 years. So at 88, he married again. They had their 18th anniversary, and he had been in ministry for 78 years. Wow. "I just preached the Bible," said Reverend Scott. At the time of his, you know, once I started teaching on longevity, people would send me articles, and this was one of the articles that somebody sent out of the Oklahoma paper. At the time of his 104th birthday, he had no plans to slow down. He awakened every morning at 2 a.m. to prepare sermon for church. "I have to get up early in the morning and write," he said. "It's the best time to hear from God." That's right. All the men who live long don't necessarily have as sterling a reputation as Reverend Scott had. Take the case of Thomas Parr, for example. According to the 18th century Bible scholar Adam Clark in his commentary, Mr. Parr, who resided in Glenington, England, several centuries ago, far outlived all seeming biblical age limits. At the age of 88, he married his first wife. He wanted to be sure, I guess. He waited a long time. By whom he had two children. He married at 88. He had two children. At the age of 102, he fell in love with Catherine Milton. Uh-oh, this is not a good report, but he probably won't care at this point, by whom he had an illegitimate child. So he was quite the man about town. That's something you don't expect from a 102-year-old man. This is in Adam Clark's commentary. Look it up. He repented of his sin in church, and at the age of 120, he married again. My word. It is said that at 130 years of age, he still worked outdoors and was capable of all the farming tasks. He died at the age of 152 in 1635 after seeing the rise and fall of 10 kings and queens in England. I'm telling you, they're letting us know what long life's all about here. Here is Adam Clark's commentary, gives us some other amazing examples of longevity as well. It recounts the story of Mrs. Summerhill of Bristol, England, who in the year of 1790, when she was 106 years of age, could still read the smallest print without spectacles. Although she was unable due to physical weakness to go to her normal place of worship, she would read the whole service of the church for each day of the year with all the lessons and songs. Mrs. Summerhill had been a member of the Methodist Society from its beginnings. After hearing John Wesley's sermon when he visited Bristol in 1739, she was so struck with his clear manner of preaching and the doctrine of justification through faith, she followed him on foot to Portsmouth, a journey of about 125 miles. So she was obviously a lover of the Word of God. The last time Mr. Clark visited her in 1790, he said, this was his account, word for word, "I was admitted 1790. I was admitted by a very old, decrepit woman, then a widow of 75 years of age." She had been a widow 75 years, and the youngest daughter of Mrs. Summerhill. "I found the aged woman's faculty strong and vigorous, and her eyesight unimpaired. Though she was then confined to her bed and she was hard of hearing, she died rejoicing in the Lord the following year." My, 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 my. Think of that. Mrs. Summerhill at 106. Or when did she die? She died when she was 106. She could still read the smallest print without glasses, so I'm not sure how old she was when she did go on. Another long-lived woman described in Clark's commentary was Agnes Schooner. She lived in Surrey, England, and survived her husband, who died in 1407 by 92 years. She outlived her husband by 92 years. Mrs. Schooner was 119 when she died in 1499. According to Mr. Clark, the Countess of Desmond in Ireland lived even longer. She flew past the age of 119, and at the age of 140, due to financial ruin and poverty, she was obliged to travel from Bristol to London to ask for relief from the court. Quite a trek for a 140-year-old. After renewing her teeth two or three times, she got a new set. I didn't know you could do that till I read this book. She got a new set of teeth three times. She died in 1612 at the age of 145. The longest-lived person recorded by Adam Clark was a foreigner, Peter Totsen, a peasant from Timisoara in Hungary. The remarkable longevity of this man exceeds the age of Isaac at his death by 5 years, exceeds the age of Abraham at his death by 10 years, death by 10 years, falls short of the age of Abraham's father Terah at his death by 20 years, and exceeds the age of Nahor, Abraham's godfather or grandfather, at his death by 37 years. So this man was, he was living Bible ages. He died in A.D. 1724 at the extraordinary age of 185. Now, those are all in the Adam Clark commentary, so you'll have to check that out. And it's exciting. Now, this is more up to date. This is one of my favorite centenarians, and she's in our lifetime. She's in our age, not our age, but our time. One of my favorite centenarians, a feisty little woman from Detroit, Michigan. Somebody sent me this article in the paper, by the way. May not have lived as long as the Countess of Desmond, but I can tell you that what she lacked in years, she made up for in spunk. Her name was Rosa Lee Ellis. When she was 112, a newspaper in Detroit printed an article about her. And then somebody sent me that article. A burglar receives, this is quoting the article, I'm reading the newspaper. A burglar received a painful surprise Thursday when he tried to rip off 112-year-old Rosa Lee Ellis. He forced his way through her East Side Detroit home and tried to steal her money and valuables. How did Rosa Lee respond to her intruder? She grabbed him. When he retaliated by throwing her to the floor, she reportedly held on to him, putting a most sensitive part of his body in a vice-like grip that put her in control of the situation. Now, can you see an old lady in a wheelchair doing this? That's Rosa Lee. Although the intruder experienced pain, he escaped without permanent injury. Here's what her son said about it. It's a good thing she didn't have her gun, her son commented to reporters. That's the only thing that saved him. Neighbors agreed and confirmed Rosa Lee's remarkable energy and attitude. They said she rode her motorcycle through the neighborhood until she was in her 80s. When asked about the incident, Rosa Lee herself said, "I don't harbor any ill will. I don't hate the man. I don't hate anybody." She attributed her positive outlook and longevity to serving God. Go, Rosa Lee. Hallelujah. You don't mess with her. Now, here's one of Ken's favorites, John Miller. He was a pilot, a well-known airline pilot. He has just since, in the last year, I believe, gone on to the other side. But he flew. He flew over, and when he was over 100, he was still flying his airplane. You'll have to check that out. He was at the flight of the Kitty Hawk, and he only died in just the last few years. I'm not sure exactly when. So people have lived long and lived strong, and that's a few of them. And I'm sure you know a lot of good people that, a lot of good stories too, so you just feel free to send me anything because I like it. It encourages me. We'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.
I want you to sow your seed today, and I want you to believe for a long, strong life. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture teaches us that we want to increase, And it says that God is able to make every favor, earthly blessing, come to us in abundance so that we may always, in all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, having enough and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. It is the will of God for us to, as verse 11 says, be enriched in all things and in every way so that we can be generous. Glory to God. So as we sow our seed, we believe God. Ken and I believe God over our seed. You believe God over your seed today, and I'm going to believe with you for an abundance. We're givers. We're tithers. We don't have to be under the gun when other people that haven't invested in the work of God are coming up short. That's not us. We give and we tithe, amen. And so we believe God, and we're not moved by what we hear on television about this thing or that thing or the bad news or whatever. We're operating in the kingdom of God, and we've invested in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom always pays good dividends. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to believe God for your finances. And I'm not just praying to pray. I'm believing God. Now, you get with me. And you get your offering ready or decide what you're going to do. I'm going to pray over your seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over the finances of every person watching this broadcast right now. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring them money from unexpected sources. As they sow their seed, and those that don't have seed to sow, well, we pray for them too, Father. But as they sow the seed, we believe for the blessing to be upon it, and for a 100-fold return. I dare believe that, Lord, because it's in the Word of God. We believe for a 100-fold return to come to them in Jesus' name. I pray for the finances of every person, Lord, that abundance be manifest. If it's not already, that your abundance come into their lives, and you tell them what to do. Tell them where their job is. Tell them this. Tell them that. Give them inside information into the increase that you have in store for them. And we, all of us, Lord, we believe for inside information. We believe for direction. We believe to be told what to do and where to sow and where to reap and how to live in order to open the door to the blessings of God. And we give you all the praise. Money, come to the people of God. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Ken will be here next week with his guest, David Barton. You don't want to miss that. I'll see you again soon. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org. or call toll-free 800-600-7395.